Jesus alone is all we need. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. We are preaching our way through the book of 1 John. And our scripture this morning will be found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18 through 27. If you would please stand, if you're able to stand, in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18. He says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Which who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things is the truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." I want to speak to you this morning on the thought, the deceptions of the last days. The deceptions of the last days. I just pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to come in your house and to worship you, Lord. Thank you for the good songs that we've heard, Lord, that reminds us of your Son Jesus and what he can do alone for us. Father, I pray that as we go to the time of preaching, Father, I pray that you would just fill me up with your Spirit, Lord. I pray, God, that you would use me, Lord. And God, I pray that you would be our teacher. Lord, teach us the things that's imparted in this text, Father. And Lord, help us to leave here differently than the way we came in. Father, I pray for the lost that they would trust Christ. And Father, I pray for the Christian that they would heed to the doctrines that is taught in this passage. And Father, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The deceptions of the last days. A 17-year-old high school student, in order to graduate, had to write an essay on a religious subject. He chose the subject of the union of believers with Christ according to the Gospel of John. I want to share with you just a portion of that essay. He wrote, "Our heart, reason, history, and the work of Christ convince us that without him we are doomed by God, and only Christ can save us." And these thoughts from a 17-year-old reveal one of with wisdom beyond his years. They were wrote from a person that was baptized in a Protestant church and confirmed in a Protestant church. But it's interesting, the name of this young man was Karl Marx. Karl Marx, the father of the communist movement. Just 9 years after writing these words, he abandoned any Christian commitment he may have made at one time. He would go to become one of the most influential atheists of history. His ideas would spawn through the Soviet Union and the communist movement, one of the worst periods of human misery and death in history. Here John tells us of one of the marks of the age in which we live is that there will be those who will abandon their faith and the faith. John is talking here to his children as a father would speak to his child. He is speaking to his flock that God has entrusted him with. He is having a family talk. He is having a fireside chat, if you will, to his children, his flock. Now, he has already warned them about the conflict between light and darkness. And he has already warned them of between love and hatred. And now he has warned them about the conflict between truth and error. You see, my dear friend, it's not enough for a Christian just to walk in the light of God. It is not just enough as a Christian just to walk in the love of God. A Christian must walk in the truth of God. Have you heard these words from a professing Christian? Somebody may say something like this. But Brother Wade, be sure, you know, it really makes no difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. You ever heard that? I'm sure you have. It really does not matter what you believe so long as you are sincere. But listen, is sincerity the magic ingredient that makes something true? No. Listen, the Islamists are very sincere in what they believe. But do they believe the truth? No. A Buddhist is very sincere in what he or she believes, but are they in what they believe true? No, absolutely not. Sincerity is not the magic ingredient that makes something true. A nurse in the hospital gives some medicine to a patient, and that patient becomes very, very ill. Now listen, sure, the nurse was sincere, but the medicine was wrong, and the patient nearly dies. So my dear friend, let me tell you something. Sincerity is not the magic ingredient of truth. Because, listen, you can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. You see, it does make a difference what a person believes. And John is very concerned as to what we believe in the last days. Now, what does John mean when he talks about the last time in verse 18? What does he mean by that? Are we in the last days? Or was John in the last days? The answer is yes. Yes. This phrase refers to the time period between the first and second comings of Jesus Christ. The period between Bethlehem, when Jesus became man and dwelt among us, and his second appearing on the Mount of Olives. So the last time began in the days of John and has been growing in intensity until now. Do you recall this morning the words of the Apostle Paul and what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1? He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times shall come." I believe you would agree with me this morning that we're living in very dangerous times. Times that you really can't even walk down the street without a fear of something, somebody doing something wrong to you. Or going to Walmart and somebody doing something wrong to you. We live in dangerous, perilous times. And Paul also said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some depart from the faith." But did you notice what John says here? John says, "Little children, it is the last time, it is the last hour." John is trying to teach his children what time it is. I tell you, one of the first things you do to you have to teach little children is how to tell time. Listen, those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we that are His children, listen, need to know what time it is in this world age. What time is it? I heard about a farmer who was asleep one night, and the grandfather clock in their house just went haywire. It went crazy. It struck 17 times in a row. He said to his wife, he said, "Wake up, Nellie. Wake up. It's later than it's ever been before." Amen? Hey, listen, personally, I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. It's almost midnight on God's clock. But in these last days, in these last hours, there are certain deceptions, there are certain dangers the church faces. What are those dangers? What are those deceptions? Well, did you notice verse 19? The sharp contrast between they and us, those two pronouns. Notice again verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. See, John is contrasting the true with the false. And he also, he says to us, I believe, three crucial things about those who go away. The first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is this. They deny the Christ. Those who go away, number one, deny the Christ. Now look again, if you will, at verse 22 and 23. He is a liar, but he that denieth, or excuse me, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now listen, the great question for an individual to answer is this. Who is Jesus Christ? The greatest question that you'll have to answer in this life is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Listen, is Christ just merely a good example? Is Christ just merely a good teacher? Is he merely just a good man? Or is he God come in the flesh? You see, the great assertion that sets a Christian apart from others is this. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Notice what it says in chapter 4 and verse 2. Turn the page to 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now understand this morning. Listen to me. Not all preachers and teachers who claim to be Christian are really Christian in their belief. Just because you see them on TV, and just because they have a mass following, and just because they have a Christian vocabulary, does not make them Christian. If these people who teach and preach, if they deny the deity of Christ, if they deny that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, then John says they are Antichrist. They belong to Antichrist. The term Antichrist is a term that John used himself only in all the Bible. The prefix anti has a dual meaning. It can mean both against Christ and instead of Christ. It can mean both against Christ and instead of Christ. And my dear friend, we understand that Satan is in his frenzy. He is fighting Christ and his eternal truth, and he is substituting his counterfeits for the reality is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you will notice here that John talks about, first of all, the one Antichrist shall come. The one Antichrist that will come. He says in verse 18, the Antichrist shall come. Do you remember the words that the Lord Jesus spoke in John chapter 5 and verse 43? Jesus said this, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is predicting that there will come a final personality of evil. He would come in his own name. And though people would reject God's Christ, they would accept and receive the devil's Antichrist. Paul had something to say about this Antichrist, this satanic Superman, if you will, who will make his appearance just before the return of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here he is called the man of sin. He is called the son of perdition. John refers to him in the book of the Revelation as the beast. But you know, beloved, when the Lord Jesus came to this world, the devil tempted him. And the devil offered to him, the Lord Jesus, all the kingdoms of this world if Jesus would just fall down and worship him. But you know the story, how Jesus quoted Scripture and said, get thee behind me, Satan, and Satan fled. He refused the offer of the devil. But in the future, the devil will make this offer to a man. And that man will take the devil up on this offer. And listen, and the devil will give to him the kingdoms of this world, and he will be the final world ruler who will represent Satan on this planet. So he talks about the Antichrist that will come. But then John also mentions in verse 18 the Antichrist, the other Antichrist who have come. That have come. Notice what he says in verse 18, even now there are many Antichrists, plural. These were the false teachers who were troubling John's congregation. Why? Because their false doctrine distorted and opposed the truth of God. Do you recall what the Lord Jesus spoke of these things? The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. The Apostle Paul made this charge to the people of Ephesus. He said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of God, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Hey, listen, beloved, listen. The false teachers were prevalent in John's day, and they are present in our day. They deny the Christ. Now, these cults may say something like this. We want God. We want God, but don't give us the Christ of the Bible. Well, friend, let me tell you something. You can't have him. For John says in verse number 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Listen, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. The Unitarian says, well, we want God, but we do not want the Christ of the Bible. Well, you can't have him. The Jehovah Witness says, we want God, but not the Christ of the Bible. Well, you cannot have him. The Jew says, I accepted God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you can't have God either. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. The cults and the liberal Protestants are saying, we'll worship God and bow down with the pagans in the temple, but don't give to us the Christ of the Bible. Oh, but Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way of salvation, that's Jesus. Beloved, I pray this morning that you will watch out for the false prophets in our day. Watch out. Those who have Christ in their creed, but not the Christ of the Bible. They may present a Christ that offers you health and wealth and prosperity. He may be a Christ that is offered continually in the Mass, but he is not the Christ of the Bible. You know what the big problem today is in America? The big problem today in America is that we worship a Jesus of our own imagination and not the Jesus of the Bible. Oh, listen to me. Here is the first thing that is said about those who go away. They deny the Christ. They deny the Christ. Number two, they desert the church. They desert the church. For John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, the people that John is speaking about here, the people that John has here in view, were not simply backsliders that have just gotten out of church. But he is speaking about the apostates. And there is a big difference between a backslider and an apostate. An apostate is one who has completely abandoned the Christian faith and who is standing apart from the Christian faith. Oh, listen to me, my dear friend. You dig deep into the heart of a backslider and you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find a saved person. You'll find a child of God when you dig deep into the heart of a backslider. But you dig beneath the surface of an apostate, and into the dark depths of his or her heart, you'll find the devil, who delights in these founders and followers of Christ's dishonoring cults. Now, says John, these people desert the church. Now, when we think of the church, think of the picture that is revealed. Think of the picture that is revealed. Now, the New Testament presents the church in a twofold way. As one worldwide family, and as local units or local assemblies of believers. There is a universal as well as a local aspect of the church. My dear friend, when a sinner trusts Christ as their Savior, he receives eternal life and immediately becomes a member of God's family, a part of God's Christ spiritual body. He should then identify himself with a local group of believers, a church, and start serving the Lord Jesus Christ in a local church. You see, one of the evidences of a true Christian is that he or she is going to have a desire to be with the people of God. Notice what John says in chapter 3 in verse 14. Notice what he says. We know that we have passed from death into life. We know that we've been saved. How? Because we love the brethren. My dear friend, when people share the same divine nature, and when people share the same indwelt Holy Spirit, and listen, they want to enjoy fellowship together and share with one another the things of the Lord. They want to be together. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you really have a desire to be in God's house with God's people? Amen. Listen, you need to ask that into your heart. Do you really have a desire to be with God's people? Or are you here, husband, because your wife forced you to? Or are you here, wife, because your husband pushed you into this? Or are you here, parent, because your child compelled you into coming? Or are you here because you really just love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love his people? You see, this is one of the ways that we know that we've been saved, John says. That we have desire to be with the brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, listen, to love Jesus is to love the things that He loves. And He loves the church. He loves the church so much that He bled and gave Himself for the church. And friend, to say you love Jesus is to say that you love the church. But these counterfeit Christians mentioned here did not remain in the fellowship. No, why? Because the Bible says they went out. And John speaks here of not only the picture that is revealed, but he speaks here of the people that are removed. The people that are removed. The Bible says, John says, they went out from us. They went out from us. Now, John is not thinking here, he's not talking about here, of people who moved from church to church. No. We have folks in this church who have joined this church, and they had to leave another fellowship to join this church. And we have folks in this church who have left this fellowship to go to another fellowship. I'm not talking about that. John's not talking about that. This is not a case of getting out of church. This is the case of getting away from church. This is not the case of a backslider. This is the case of an apostate. This is someone turning their back completely on Christ and turning their back on His church. Now notice what John says. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They were members of a church, but not members of the church. They were in the same building, but they were not part of the same body of Christ. Oh, listen, they might have come in and they might have sung some songs, sang some hymns. They might have listened to the word of the preacher. They might have partook of the Lord's Supper. They might have been baptized. They might have heard their voices in the prayer meeting. And to all intents and purposes, they looked the part. They even dressed the part. But in their hearts, they were miles and miles away. And John says they go out to embrace another Christ. Now, friend, listen to me this morning. That should not surprise you. It should not surprise you. Why? Because Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And by the way, that goes for Baptists too. Amen? Listen, you can be a fully fledged Baptist, certified and satisfied and probably petrified, and still be lost. Still be lost. Being in the church does not necessarily make you a part of the church. Out in the wild, wild west, I heard of a story of a train that was stopped by an outlaw. He had a mask over his face and two guns drawn. Going through every car on that train, taking all the jewelry, all the dollar bills, and anything of value. Finally, he got to a man who was just trembling all over. And this man said to the bandit, he said to the outlaw, he said, "Please, sir, don't take my dollar bills. I'm just a poor old Baptist preacher." When the outlaw heard what the minister said, the outlaw said this, "Are you a Baptist?" "Well, so am I. Let's shake hands." Hey, listen, that outlaw could have been in the church, but he was not of the church. So John is saying there may be people among us, but they are not of us. Now, listen, we do not always know who these people are. But Christ does. Christ does. If we would have lived in the New Testament times and have lived among the disciples of Christ, the 12 disciples, we would have never thought that Judas was an apostate. We would have never thought that Judas would have forsaken the Lord Jesus. We would have looked at Judas and say, "My goodness, now if there's a saved man, there is one right there. He is a leading disciple. with Jesus Christ. But Christ knew from the beginning. He knew from the beginning who should betray him, John 6:64. Now listen, did Judas lose his salvation? No. Judas never had his salvation. He was an apostate. Friend, let me ask you this question this morning. What about you? Are you genuinely saved? You say, Brother Wade, how can you tell? How can you know? Well, listen, what John talks about here, the proof. He talks about the proof that is required. Now again, in verse 19, it says, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Listen, John is not saying that staying in the church will save you. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that being saved will keep you in the church. He is saying that the real test of your profession of faith is perseverance. Now, there are some professing believers who are what I call Alka-Seltzer Christians. You drop them in the water of the baptistry, and they fizz, and they fizz, and they fizzle out, and they disappear. You can't ever find them. Somebody has said, I believe Adrian Rogers said this years ago, the faith that fizzles at the finish was flawed at the first. The faith that fizzles at the finish was flawed from the first. You see, the problem with many people today is this. It's not that they are backsliders. The problem is that they are lost. And they've never truly been saved. For if they had been saved, they would still be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, listen to me. If perseverance is a proof of true profession, are you persevering this morning? John says of these counterfeit Christians, number one, they deny the Christ. Number two, they desert the church. And number three, and here's the last thing, they deceive the Christian. They deceive the Christian. Notice that word in verse 26, the word seduce. Seduce. It carries the idea of being led astray. Do you know something, beloved, that the devil's purpose is to lead Christians astray? How? By teaching them false doctrine. Why, this is one of the reasons why John, the Apostle John, wrote this letter. To protect the saints from those who would lead them astray. But do you understand this morning? And did you know that Satan has counterfeit ministers? He has counterfeit preachers who preach a counterfeit gospel that produce counterfeit Christians who depend on a counterfeit righteousness for their salvation. This is why we are to be strong in the Lord. This is why we're to be grounded in Bible doctrine. Somebody said, Brother Wade, I really don't get all that excited about Bible doctrine. I don't know what the big deal is about that Bible doctrine stuff. I want to tell you something, beloved. You better be interested in doctrine. The things that is a belief system of our Christian faith. You need to know what the Bible says, lest the devil ensnare you through how? False teaching. And by the way, it is a fascinating thing to discover that many of the founders of the major cults today came right out of the church. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, attended a Presbyterian church. William Miller, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist, was a licensed Baptist preacher. Charles Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witness, was also a Presbyterian. Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, Scientists, was a Congregationalist and was raised in a very strict Christian home. My dear friend, I say all that to say this, the devil is out to get you. He is out to get you. What can we do? How can we counteract the spirit of Antichrist that is so prevalent in our world? Notice lastly, The provision of the Lord is to enable. The provision of the Lord is to enable. In these verses, John outlines God's threefold provision. Number one, stay in the church of God. Stay in the church of God. How do we counteract the spirit of Antichrist? Stay in the church. The Bible says they went out from us. If they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. My dear friends, stay in the church, for Paul says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. That makes to me, listen to me, that makes the local church important. You say, Brother Wade, listen, I'm not so hot on the local church. I believe in the church universal. Well, listen, I do too. But I also believe in the local church. Listen, do you know something? The universal church never holds a meeting. The universal church never takes up a collection. A universal church never sends out pastors and missionaries, but the local church does. And God says of this local church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. Friend, in these last of the last days, you ought to be here as often as you possibly can, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if all possible. Some of you saying, but Brother Wade, I'm just too busy to come to all those times that we have church. But I like what somebody else said. If a man is too busy to worship the Lord twice on the Lord's day and on a prayer meeting night, he has more business than God intended him to have. Amen? Listen, we need to stay in the church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And again, the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord. The closer we get to the second coming, my dear friend, the darker the days are going to get on this earth. And the darker the days get on this earth, the more light we need from his word and from the other believers in Jesus Christ. Stay in the church. And then another way we counteract the Antichrist spirit is this: stay in the Word of God. Not only stay in the church of God, but stay in the Word of God. John says in verse 24, notice what he says, Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. My dear friend, listen, the best remedy against error is what? Truth. That's the best remedy against error. Truth. And my dear friend, that truth is found in the Word of God. Jesus himself said, thy word is truth. That is, the word is more than just truth. Just true, my dear friend, it means that it is also truth. The Word of God is the sum total of truth. It is the plumb line of what is right. It is God's plumb line to keep you on the straight and narrow. So my advice to you this morning is this: to get in the Word, study the Word, stay in the Word. But why? If you don't, you're sitting ducks for false teachers. So many of us, I'm afraid, are like the man that George Whitefield talked to many years ago. George Whitefield was a great preacher yesteryear. He was talking to this one individual, and George Whitefield said, sir, what do you believe? And the man said, well, I believe what my church believes. And George Whitefield said, well, okay, well, great. What does your church believe? Well, the man said, well, the same thing I believe. And George Whitefield said, well, what do you both believe? And here's what the man said. The man said, well, we both believe the same thing. Friend, I tell you this morning, get in the book. Get in the book. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Why this morning do you believe in grace alone for salvation? Why do you believe salvation by grace alone? Why do you believe this morning in the eternal security of the believer. Why do you believe this morning that baptism is something that happens after someone gets saved, not before? You've got to dig into the Word. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Then notice, lastly, stay in the Spirit of God. Stay in the Spirit of God. Listen, whenever a person calls upon the Lord to be saved, immediately the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in that person's heart, that person's life. The word unction in verse 20 and the word anointing in verse 27 are the same word and speak of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The word anoint reminds us of the Old Testament practice of pouring oil on the head of a person being set apart for special service. Will that be a king or a priest? My dear friend, let me tell you something. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have the unctioning and the functioning and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in us that will keep us. It will keep us in the truth and in the faith. And thank God, while this anointing and unctioning of the Spirit abides in us, we cannot go wrong. We cannot go wrong. And while others may go out, and while others may leave and fall away, these will remain. Those who are truly saved will remain. Because why? Because they see it. And having seen it, they cannot possibly believe anything else. We have been anointed. We've been set apart. We have received the unction. And it has given us this understanding of truth which enables us to say we have the mind of Christ. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, or chapter 2 and verse 16. Oh, my dear friends, listen to me. The deceptions of the last days. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And in these days are filled with dangers. These days are filled with the deceptions. But if a man is drilled in the Word of God, and if a man is filled with the Spirit of God, and thrilled with the Son of God, the victory will be his. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, what a wonderful day it is, Lord, to hear your word, to be with your people in worship and in praise and in fellowship. And Father, all we can say is that we are grateful beyond words that you have seen fit to rescue us, to give us the knowledge of the truth. And Father, I pray that if there are people in this church who have not embraced Jesus Christ fully or have not yet come to the end of themselves and in self-denial and a willingness to take up their cross and follow Him and acknowledge Him as their Lord and Savior, may they do that now, that they might enter into, Lord, eternal life and be secured in that powerful, persevering faith that you grant. Oh Lord, may they cry out for that salvation from a penitent heart, from a broken heart. And Lord, that they would ask you to grant them the gift of forgiveness and eternal life, and in full faith receive it. Father, I pray, but Lord, even this morning, the Holy Spirit would set apart those who are His. And God, call them to your Son Jesus. And Father, I pray for the Christian that is here. God, I pray that you would help us to be mindful and to be watchful for the false teachers. God, help us to listen to that still small voice, the Holy Spirit, as He speaks to us and gives us knowledge of all things, discernment of all things, that, Lord, in these last days, we won't fall for the false, but we'll stand for the truth. For we know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Lord, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand quietly. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I pray that this morning that you allow the Holy Spirit to examine your life, whether ye are in the faith or not. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm asking you, have you trusted in Christ and Christ alone? Salvation. Christian friend, what about you tonight, this morning? If you gave in to some false doctrine, do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Maybe this morning you just want to dedicate yourself to reading and studying and getting in more into God's Word and allowing the Word of God to get more into you. As there are those that's coming and praying, there's time for you to respond to the message. To pray with you over a matter, I'll be glad to pray with you. Just respond as the Lord leads you.